The attainment of a pleasant afterlife in heaven might also be included in this list, but that goal seems secondary to the others. As I mentioned in the previous talk, the Arians held an assortment of views on the fate of humans after death. Arian religion thus seems more oriented towards practical concerns of the here and now rather than the hereafter. In the early Vedic period, the Arians believed that the Shrautar rites effectively persuaded the gods to act on behalf of the sacrificer. Persuasion came in the form of flattering songs sung in a deva's honor and the offering of pleasant food such as meat and soma for the gods to eat. Over time, however, the ritual itself came to be regarded as the transformative agent. By manipulating the objects of the sacrifice, and especially by uttering the powerful words, the Brahmins believed that they were controlling the cosmic powers associated with the elements of the ritual. Thus, the sacred words themselves came to be seen as powerful. Perhaps a Western analog to this might be the use of magic words like abracadabra and hocus pocus, which, interestingly, is a corruption of words uttered at the Christian Mass, hoc est corpus Christi. The creative power of a sacrifice even acquired a technical name, that is, Brahman. The Brahmins saw themselves as the custodians of Brahman. The similarity of names is intentional here. So important is the spoken word that the later Vedic tradition personified voice as a goddess, the goddess Vach. The personification of voice reflected the view that language itself has a divine origin, that language embodied spirit. The words we hear and speak are only partial manifestations of an eternal, meaningful, an inexhaustible reality. One Vedic creation myth even suggests that the ancient rishis brought the gods into existence simply by naming them. Later sources tell of how the entire universe is created from the primordial mantra, Om. Om is the pranava, the most potent of mantras. It's not a concept. It doesn't designate anything. It is the all word. It embodies all things in the form of sound. All recitations of scripture begin and end with Om, like Amen, a word to which it might be etymologically related. Today, Hinduism retains much of this emphasis on the spoken word. Throughout India, scriptures are often recited in villages and towns over loudspeakers, sometimes beginning at 4 o'clock in the morning. Even if no one hears or listens to the recitation, it's considered meritorious because it generates communal blessings for the entire society. By 600 BCE, the religious system of the Aryan Vedic tradition began to undergo reassessment and criticism. For many, this old-time religion of rituals and sacrifices seemed no longer to address their deepest spiritual needs. New questions and concerns were emerging, and the sacrificial system appeared to be unable to answer these completely. There seemed to be a widespread dissatisfaction with the elitism of Brahmins and the expensive rituals for commoners. More than this, there seemed also to be doubts about the value of the rites and what they could produce. In short, many throughout India at this time began to wonder whether prosperity and posterity were all there was to life. A very fascinating and influential text called the Upanishads, composed at about this time, reflects this assessment of the goods of Vedic ritual.